going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. Prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
And here we go, Digital Adele back with another Hoops Profile College to the Pros segment with my co-host, Matt Hanifin. How are you doing today, Matt?
I'm doing good, man. It's very windy where I'm at. That's a little, like, annoying.
Yeah.
Very windy outside, and so there's a lot of noise that's being made. But other than that, I'm doing good.
Outside of that, you're doing fantastic. I get it. That's cool, man. I mean, here in sunny Fort Lauderdale, Florida, it's like 80 degrees. I'm not actually in Fort Lauderdale. I apologize. But in Florida, it's actually 80 degrees. It's nice and breezy. No complaints where I'm at either, but it's not windy per se. Like, the wind isn't whipping. I wanted to tell you guys this, too. This is a good off-the-air story to share. I was about to do the post-game show for Five Reasons Sports after the Miami Heat game. And right beforehand, there's big storm rolled through. And I heard this huge clap of thunder and lightning in my area. I'm like, man, that sounded like really close to my house. I thought nothing of it. And then there was another big bolt of lightning. Thought nothing of it. A couple minutes later, the missus calls and she's like, hey, there's a bunch of fire trucks in our neighborhood. What's going on? I was like, I have no idea, but is there anything on fire? Like, what's yeah. going on? And she's like, oh, let me take a look. There's people gathered around. And she's like, oh, yeah, this tree's on fire. I wonder what happened. I'm like, oh, yeah, that was the lightning bolt I heard earlier. So apparently a lightning struck my community just the other day. So
what? So like, was it like, in your yard, or was it like in a neighborhood?
No, it was just in the neighborhood. It was like,
okay,
because we're in a gated community, so it was just like I don't know, a block down the road, like,
okay,
before you get out of my community. I was like, oh, that's crazy, that was pretty close. But to that end, my grandfather actually got struck by lightning once when I was a kid.
Oh my God.
he survived it. And then the tree out in front of my grandmother's house got struck by lightning when I was like 10 years older than that. So I'm like deathly afraid of lightning because it seems to strike close to my family.
See, that makes two of us in the sense that I am also very afraid of lightning.
Yeah.
I call it an irrational fear because it's gotten close to like my neighborhood.
Right.
Like generally, like, it's gotten close to my house whenever I've been in it a couple of times throughout my life. But right. Other than that, like, I don't like being close to it. I'm like, every time I see it out of like the corner of my eye from a distance, I'm like, whoa, like,
oh.
I was like, nah, nope, not a fan.
But yeah. Lightning has some crazy destructive power, dude. Let's continue. And speaking of Lightning, say less D, how the corporate job treating you? I mean, I love my corporate job. I don't want to give the wrong impression. Like, out of all the corporate jobs I could have outside of sports, it's one of my favorite, probably the favorite that I've ever had. And so that's why I've been there so long. Do I want to stay in the corporate world forever? No. I'd love to transition to sports full time at some point, but we're not at that point. So, but yeah, that's how my corporate job is going. Thank you to them for, you know, allowing me to be off and get better and to take care of myself. So, shout out to corporate America in that regard. But anyway, Say Less D wants to know about your corporate life, Matt. I don't know if Matt has a corporate life. I think he's purely sports.
I don't have a corporate life.
Yeah, he's purely sports.
Well, I do some other stuff on the side, but.
Ah, gotcha. Gotcha. All right. Let's talk about some actual hoops. There's this thing going on today. I don't know if you guys have heard of it. It's this very radical concept called the NCAA tournament. We're at this thing called the Sweet 16. No, it's not your daughter's dance or your sister's dance or your whatever. But I'm very old. But the Sweet 16 is a part of the NCAA tournament. As the name suggests, there's only 16 teams remaining. So we'll be talking about those games in detail. We're going to try to watch some of those here on playback. If my health allows today, because we are part of that pilot, big shout out to playback for allowing that to happen. So, you know, if you're not part of the Five Reasons Sports, you know, go to that playback. I mean, if you are part of that, go to that playback. But if you're not part of Five Reasons, you know, Miami Heat culture, come join us for the NCAA games. But yeah, let's dive into the tournament. Speaking of that, the off the floor Discord for 5RSN that we work with, again, I don't have to plug them, but I do because I like genuinely being in that Discord chat. And in the draft channel, which I am the lead of, I posted the slate of games for today. I did that all throughout the tournament. And today, our first game that we're going to discuss is one that has a very polarizing prospect in it. His regular season wasn't great. His draft stock has been falling. But in the tournament, he's actually played better. And that's the BYU-Alabama game. It has Mark Sears in it from Alabama, LeBaron Filon, who may actually go back to school. You never know. And one Jaeger Demin, which has been on the slide. What are your thoughts going into this game, Matt? And think of it from this perspective. What are you looking to see from each of these prospects? And how do you think the game's going to go tonight?
Well, I think for at least just to start with Filon.
Yeah.
You just look at his last three games, 1-for-9 against Florida, 2-for-8 against St. Mary's, and 0-for-1. He just took one shot in 28 minutes, albeit with 8 assists against Robert Morris, the good old Bobby Moe. But I
shout out Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, baby.
I'm just wanting to see more efficiency. Like, I feel like his efficiency tailed off a little bit, mostly from the field, not specifically from deep. In conference play, like, obviously, you know, he's still a good rebounder. He's still physical. Like, he's not a bad playmaker or anything like that. Like, defensively, I think he's still, like, a plus for his size, or at least relative to some of the other prospects in the class.
Right.
But I want to see how he defends. And I think, like, especially when he's going up against or defends and how, like, efficient he is. Because, I mean, he's going to be in a very up-tempo game. Against BYU with Saunders, with Demin, with that, you know, Dallin Hall, like all of these, some of these other guys, catchings, right. Canon catchings, like that's something that I'm looking out for him. And then for Demin, it's more so like, is he able to sustain this level of play? Like, I think he's been, again, we talked about it on Tuesday, he's been genuinely better than I expected him to be heading in, or at least, you know, heading into the tournament. I had serious questions about how he would fare against VCU. He was really good in that game, 15 points, 6 of 11 shooting, 3 of 4 from deep, four rebounds, two assists, and then you followed that up with an 11, 8, and 8. And so, like, if how is he able to continue to build off of that, again, in this very up-tempo, like, it's going to be a fast-paced game. All Alabama games are fast-paced games. Both teams, you know how to space the floor. They both kind of run systems in the sense where it's like it's NBA concepts, NBA schemes. So I'm just very interested to see how this goes for both teams. And those are the main points that I'm looking out for, especially like for Damien's case as well. Like, I think I want to see more of the not the vision, but like, all right, in this fast paced kind of environment, you know, not an NBA like, but it's in this very fast paced environment. What's his processing looks like? What are the reads, the playmaking, the passing accuracy? Like, how is that as time goes on, as the game goes on, as the game wears down? Like, how is that going to affect him? So those are just a few things. Do you have anything else that you would want to add to that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you covered a lot of it. You covered a lot of it, but so with Jaeger specifically, I want to see how he handles contact driving to the basket.
Yep.
Is he able to be effective finishing through contact? Is the physical play, because Alabama's going to be physical, is he going to be able to step up to that challenge? Not just offensively, but defensively as well. As far as LeBaron Filon, I'm looking for him. So, like, let me preface the Filon stuff. Once tournament time rolled around, they took the ball out of his hands. They really leaned into the seniors and the older guards. And I'm really looking to see if he can find a way to fit in even without the ball. Can he make plays defensively? Can he rebound and bust out with the ball? Is he going to be able to defend at a high enough level at the point of attack? Because they run this system in BYU where you got to really make sure you're attached at the hip, coming off their screens and flex actions and cuts. Like, is he going to be able to be defensively sound? Mark Sears, I kind of know what Sears is. There isn't really much I'm looking from Mark Sears. He is what he is at this point. I mean, he's an older guard. He's very savvy. Bulldog, can finish around the hoop, can hit some threes. He'll shoot anytime he touches the ball. He's good at breaking people down off the dribble. He's got a little left and right into his game. He is really low budget Jalen Brunson. He really is. He's like Tamu Brunson.
That's crazy.
He is. He's like Tamu Brunson. But
I kind of love that. Yeah, I never thought of that.
Yeah, that's really what he is. That's what, and I hate comparisons. You know, I hate comparisons, but that's really what he is to me. He reminds me of a Tamu Jalen Brunson. But we'll see how that goes for him. There's not much, like I said, I'm looking forward to be different or stand out in this game. That's at 7:09 on CBS. And I'm looking for Alabama to win this one. I think they have enough talent to compete. I believe they're going to beat them. And for our bracket purposes, we need Alabama to win because BYU should not have gotten this far according to our brackets. So for our own selfish reasons, we're rooting for Alabama. But that leads me into the next game, which comes on, which I'll probably be tuning into this game more than the Alabama BYU game. I'll probably go back and watch the Alabama BYU game, the second half of it, because at 7:39 on TBS, Maryland plays the University of Florida. And we have two prospects in this game. Three prospects, sorry. Yeah, three. We have one Derek Queen, another polarizing prospect, allegedly 6'10", moves very well. And the reason I say it, allegedly 6'10", he handles the ball very well. That's one of the things that makes him so attractive as a prospect. His ability to handle the ball, put it on the deck, get to the rim. But if you're 6'7 instead of 6'10", it's not as impressive, is all I'm saying. So it's going to be very interesting what his measurables are. As far as what's in the game, like what's going to happen in the game, I'm looking to see if he can defend consistently because he doesn't do that. I'm looking to see if he's going to be able to create, because if he ends up being a perimeter-oriented player because he's not really 6'10", how well can you facilitate and get others involved? But that's really it. Defense, rebounding, and that. And then we have a Mr. Will. We have Clayton Jr. as well as Condon, Alex Condon for the University of Florida. I actually like both of these players a lot. Clayton's interesting to me because he's not, he doesn't have the height, the stature, the defensive chops, or even the playmaking ability at the next level, in my opinion, for you to be like, I'll take a flyer on him in the first round. But if I got him in the second round, I'd be like, I love this pick. Like, I'm torn on him. Alex Condon, I think, is going to go in the first round, bottom of the first, anywhere from 22 to 30. What I'm looking for from Condon is, can he show some toughness? Is he going to be able to deal with the physicality of Derek Queen? And for Clayton, is to continue to be the leader of that team, to be efficient while taking his tough shots. What about you? What are you looking forward to in that game?
A little bit of, like, on that same note with Clayton. I want to start there. With Clayton, yeah, he takes a lot of tough shots, makes tough shots. Maryland has a, like, they have good point of attack defense.
Yeah.
With, you know, with Gillespie, with Rodney Rice, like, they have solid point of attack defenders that I think, like, they're going to stick on him. Like,
right.
That, so I'm very interested to see, you know, Selton Miguel's another one who, you know, I think, like, all three of those guys, or not, mostly Rice and Miguel, like, have decent size, though, I think, match up with a guy like Walter Clayton. So I'm interested to see how he attacks that. And then with Queen and Condon specifically, Florida's one of the best offensive rebounding teams in the country.
Yeah.
And I think when Queen is at his best on the glass, they win. And I think that's, it's not a big if, because, I mean, he's a solid rebounder for someone who's not, he doesn't have a lot of vertical pop.
Right.
But he's a good rebounder, I would say. And so I think rebounding, limiting Florida to just one possession, I think that's going to be very important, not just for Derek Queen, but for the entirety of Maryland. Like, because yep. Maryland's a good defensive rebounding team. And so I think, like, the battle on the boards is going to be important. And then to your point with Condon, like, absorbing the physicality of Derek Queen, mostly defensively, like, I don't know if Reese or Queen will be guarding Condon primarily. It's going to be one of those two guys,
right?
And I think just Condon, because of his size, can win that matchup. But, like, Maryland will also go to a 2-3 zone, and so, like, picking your spot.
See, I don't know if Condon can win that matchup, because Reese and Queen are both very physical players, and he struggles with that. It's not that he's going to back down, but it's been shown time and time again he gets bullied under down low, man.
I think he can win against Reese. Queen, I'm a little bit more skeptical, but I think he has the quickness. Like, he's got the quickness and he's got the motor.
Right.
And the fluidity, like, movement-wise to beat Queen. If you're talking, like, from a physicality standpoint, I don't think he beats Queen, but I just think he's more nimble. That's kind of where I stand with that. But I'm, those three players, this is going to be a very interesting matchup, specifically with Queen and Condon. I'm very interested to see, like, this goes back to my points in the previous games with Maryland. Like, how do they decide to attack him?
Right.
And, like, are they able to hide him? Because I think he has a bullseye on his chest.
Oh, yeah.
When it comes to, like, defensively, especially, like, in the zone, they're able to hide him a little bit. Because, I mean, there's times, depending on the lineups, where they hide him in one of the corners.
Right.
Like, he's not always around the rim. They're not going to always, like, put him in actions that way. But, like, sometimes they'll find a way. And, like, if you get Walter Clayton or someone like that in a mismatch with Derek Queen on the, in, you know, in on the wing or in the corner, like,
right.
I don't love that for Maryland.
No, because I don't either. I agree with you. That's going to be a long day for Mr. Queen if that happens, for sure. But that's why I'm more interested in watching this game than the BYU-Alabama game, because there's some really intriguing learning and evaluation things you could really take from this game. Correct. On prospects that are going to go higher than people think. Like, Derek Queen's going to go higher than people think. I think,
well, higher than you and I would want him to go.
There you go. That's a better way to phrase it. That's correct. Next game, the nightcap. Part of the nightcap. 9:39 on CBS. We have Arizona versus Duke. And I know you have some strong questions and thoughts and opinions on this game and interest in this game. So I'll let you tee this one up.
It was unfortunate. This is more so for the sake of my brackets than anything else, but also how you and I have talked about Caleb Love. It was kind of annoying watching him, right? Just like whenever he took a big shot against Oregon, he would make it. And it was just like,
right,
like I'm kind of sitting there from my seat, like,
again, he never does this, right?
No, like, real dog in the fight, but I'm just like, I'm like kind of cursing to myself a little bit. But I am very interested in the Carter Bryant aspect of this game. Like,
right,
how much is he on Cooper Flagg or Con Knipple? Like,
he's going to have his hands full.
I know the numbers won't say so. I thought he was legitimately their best player against.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic. Your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Akron, when they right. played. And I mean, I don't think he was as impactful against Oregon. That was, again, that was like the Caleb Love show. But that, just the Carter Bryant piece of things, like how malleable and versatile he is defensively, offensively, like, yeah, he's still not a guy that you necessarily want to put the ball in his hands, but like him athletically, him cutting, him moving off ball, like that's something that I like a lot about him. I think his shots, like he's like a mid to high 30s 3-point shooter. I think at the next level, like he's legitimately, I think, good in that area. He's got the physical tools. Like, again, the thing I'll say about Carter Bryant, I like the tools. It's just putting it all together,
right?
Consistently over time, like that's what I've had continued questions about. And I think he, you know, he's done enough to improve that over the season. But like, just continuing, because like they're gonna need him to play well to win this game, like
right.
just point blank. Henry Vassar is someone that's interesting. I don't think he's a 2025 guy.
No,
but or at least I don't know how many years of eligibility he has left. I don't.
I haven't seen him anywhere that he's a 2025 guy. Not one list.
But he's someone where it's like him versus Malawach. I'm like, I'm keeping a third eye on.
Yeah, you're intrigued.
Yeah, yeah. Just to see how, like, you know, he's going to stretch the floor a little bit. He's going to, you know, he's a solid rim runner. But, like, with Malawach and how big he is, like, that's just an, like, 2 7-footers. That's just a matchup that I'm keeping a close eye on. I also think they'll need a good like KJ Lewis game defensively, specifically on like a guy like Knipple or Proctor.
Right.
I thought he was good defensively in their, you know, in their two games.
I feel like he's always good defensively.
Yeah, the efficiency still isn't good though.
Like, yeah, offensively, he's not great. No.
Yeah, yeah, and like again, he's one of those weird players where it's like, even though I know the percentages of how bad he is, I still think it's going in when he shoots it.
Oh yeah.
Like that's just something that's more of a me thing than anything.
Right.
I'm like, it looks good, and then he just misses it. It's like, oh, that's why he's shooting like 17% or whatever. But those are just a few things that I'm looking out for Arizona specifically. Like, they're facing a top five defense in the country. They're facing, you know, one of the best rebounding teams in the country, at least a top 50 rebounding team. Arizona is also like a top 20 offensive rebounding team. So how Duke contains them, how Flag, Malawach, Sion James, so on and so forth. Like,
don't forget Con Knipple. He rebounds as well.
Well, right. I'm just like all of those guys, like the team rebounding aspect of things, like how are they able to limit possessions from Arizona? Because that's what really got them back in that Oregon game. And then it just Oregon kind of didn't fall apart, but like they couldn't get back to where they were, you know, first 8 minutes or so.
Well, let me attack this from the Duke perspective. I'm interested in seeing how Con Knipple handles KJ Lewis and Carter Bryant's athleticism on defensively, because he's continually beat the close. These guys are NBA-ish level defenders. Is he going to be able to continue to beat the close, attack in the PNR? Like, I'm very interested in how this affects his game. Could Tyrese Proctor continue to be that steady outside shooting when they need it, handle the ball a little bit? I'm not worried about Coop. Like, honestly, there's not really an evaluation I'm looking for out of Coop. The only thing that would be is if he like completely wet the bed and looked horrific. Like, then you're like, oh, that would catch your eye.
But it's a one game sample, though. Like,
but I'm saying it would catch your eye. But yeah, you're right. It's still, you would still be like, oh, it's, he just had an off night.
That's true.
So I'm not really worried about Coop. But I am interested in how Con Knipple handles that defensive pressure. I'm also interested in how he guards, like if he gets switched out on Caleb Love, because again, we know what Caleb Love is. We know what he's going to do. He's going to dribble, 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 shoot all the day long. It's just what he does. Can Con Knipple keep him? Because Con's kept everybody in front of him all season. Yeah. And so can he continue to do that with somebody who's going to be ultra aggressive like Caleb Love? So I'm interested in that aspect of it for Con Knipple. And I want to say this because Con's a top seven, top six type of pick. Con's not falling down to the 15s. I'm sorry. Y'all are barking up the wrong tree with that one.
Yeah, again, there are people mad at me on Twitter when someone, I don't remember who it was, asked for like a top eight or a top 10, and I put Con in there. And people were not happy about that.
People
were like, Knipple? And I was just like, yeah, okay, pardon me, like,
right? Did you want to tell them they have untrained eyes? I know you wanted to. You had to fight.
No, I was like, in my own head, I was trying to be like, you know, everyone has their own evals. So
I mean, but he's that type of player, man. He's that good. I'm good.
With you. You and I are in complete agreement. But like,
yeah,
some
crazy
people don't think so, which is, I guess, fine.
I'm interested in like how many Duke games they actually watched.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I really am, because there's no way you've watched a bunch of Duke games and been like, yeah, Con's not that good.
I wonder with Con if he's going to get the Jaden Bradley matchup and not, like, if they're going to stick Proctor on Caleb Love. They'll try to put him in actions, sure, and try to maybe get him switched onto him just because of the lack of foot speed. But
correct. There's no real hiding at this point in the tournament. Like, there is no hiding a player. Like, they're going to find mismatches. Yeah. They're going to try to attack them.
You mean I can't hide Derek Queen from you?
Correct. I can't wait to watch, see what happens in that game. I'm not rooting against the kid. I wish the kid nothing but the best. But just the way people talk about Derek Queen, like he's the second coming of, like, I don't even know what player. Like, Draymond Green mixed with, like, I don't know who's good, like Zach Randolph.
I don't think people would. Draymond's more so the Murray Boyles.
The Murray Boyles. That's right. That's right. Murray Boyles is the Draymond. That's true. Even though they play nothing alike, but it's all right.
Listen, man. Angel Reese called Derek Queen Baby Jokic. So, who am I to?
So we're going to end the podcast right now. It's over. No more talking the rest of the day. That's ridiculous. That's absurd. It's absurd.
Hey, listen, man, if you think I'm lying or think I'm wrong, just go check her Twitter.
I don't think you're wrong. I don't think you're lying, but I do think it's absurd. The nightcap, the Arkansas Razorbacks versus Texas Tech, 10:09 on TBS. We have John Calipari coaching Boogie Fland, one of my favorite guards in the draft. He's had two games under his belt. Tell me, Matt, how do you think he's played to this point? And do you believe he's going to start since he's been back two games now?
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. So I don't think he starts. But I think he'll get 20 minutes like he's gotten each of the last two games.
Stephen Fine comes thundering in. Derek Queen is a good player. We agree he's a good player. We agree he's a good player. We don't believe that he's baby Jokic. Let me ask you a question, Steven. Does he play defense? I just want to know. Inquiring minds want to know. Does he play defense?
Nikola Jokic didn't play defense for the first.
Stephen Fine says, yes, he plays defense. Are you sure?
I mentioned on Tuesday that he had a couple of like decent defensive moments.
Yeah, he can have some spurts here or there.
The jury's out. On his
I disagree with you, Steven. I completely disagree with you. I don't think he plays defense consistently at all.
No.
He definitely provides you zero rim protection. None. Like, if he was an antivirus, all the viruses were getting through.
And it's also like the thing I have I think he's decent laterally for his size, but like
when he's in drop coverage.
And when he's going to be put in drop coverage at the next level because he's not quick enough to defend in space.
Right.
For now, the jury's out.
I've seen him have a rep or two where he can move laterally and cause some disruption. But, like, he rarely gets into that defensive stance and does that. Like, he has a little bit of that ability to do that. Is he going to be able to consistently do that? I don't think so.
That's not going to happen against NBA guards or NBA. No. Like, it's just not.
No. I'm interested in his measurables as well. Like, I really am. What's his wingspan going to be? What's his height going to be? Because at the next level, there's no way he plays on the wing. He can't guard wing players at all. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. But I do think he's a good player. Don't get me wrong. I just don't think he's a top 10 player.
No.
All right. Boogie Fland. I want Boogie to start. I want him to start from an evaluation standpoint and because I like the way he plays. But I kind of agree with you, Matt. I don't think he is. They're winning. Coaches don't change things when you win, especially in this type of setting. Yeah. But I can see him getting more than his 20 minutes that he's gotten the last couple of games. I could see because they're really going to need him. Also, I'm interested to see how he does up against these experienced Texas Tech point of attack defenders, because that's going to be a big key point to his evaluation at the next level. And how does he hold up physically when he gets to the basket? Because Texas Tech is tough down low when you get to the basket with JT Toppin, even though Toppin's very slight of build. He's not a hulking guy down there, but he's very skilled and adept at defending. He's got long arms, and Texas Tech is pretty sturdy defensively. So that's going to be my sticking point of what I want to see from Boogie. Can he finish inside? Can he penetrate dish? How is he going to hold up defensively and offensively against those senior guards? But there's another guy that I'm sure you want to talk about from the Texas Tech side. And his name is JT Toppin. Talk to me about JT Toppin and what you're looking for from him.
I actually thought you were going to say Darian because he had a 28-point game against Drake. For all you evaluators out there, that's why he's going 1-1. That's why he's going 1-1.
He's going to best Cooper Flagg.
Hey, listen, I don't make the rules. I just enforce them. With Toppin specifically, like, he was really, there was no matchup for him against Drake that was like good,
right?
Like, for good for Drake, I should specify.
Correct.
He completely dominated that game, and so against an Arkansas front court with Avisic, and then like, I think Adu's probably, I mean, if Adu's playing, he'd be like,
he played last game, right?
I believe so.
Yeah, he played last.
Yeah. Because I know he was, I know he didn't play against Kansas because he was injured.
Yeah, he played last game.
No, he didn't.
Adu, are you sure? Are
no, we sure? Thiero.
Oh, my bad, my bad, my bad. The bull in a china shop. Gotcha.
Yeah, or like, because there's not a whole lot of matchups that I love for Arkansas against Toppin either. And so I'm very interested to see how Arkansas counters against that when it's not Ivicic. And again, like, I think Toppin can handle that matchup fine, even though he's a few inches shorter, just because.
Can you evaluate Toppin's game without mentioning right shoulder jump hook left hand?
He's a guy who's strong, and he has a high motor, good offensive rebounder, versatile, switchable defender.
There you go.
Can space the floor a little bit, not much, but a little bit.
That was really good, man. That's because really hard to do because that's all he does.
Well, I get that's the tendency, but like, how is Arkansas going to counter that if they stick like Carter Knox on him? It's just like, I don't know if that's a good matchup or a good idea.
Yeah, Carter Knox is very athletic. He's strong, but I think he's going to be a little too small to handle Toppin down low on the block.
If he's just the only guy, but like, I'm not very high on him, and I think he can get overwhelmed physically.
Absolutely. He's been getting overwhelmed physically all season.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, that's really all we have for the draft or the NCAA stuff. Is there anything on the draft side of things that you wanted to talk about or that you have moved anybody on your board? Or is there anything that you have left in the tank for your draft stuff?
Hold on. I got to pull up my list again. There was someone that we didn't talk about last time that I wanted to talk about, but didn't.
I'm down for it.
I'm pulling up my list now. I apologize for not having it up already.
It's completely fine.
Another guy that improved his stock that I don't think we talked about very much.
Okay.
At least again, like for the two tournament games. Chaz Lanier.
I love his game, dude. Yep. Love his game.
Like he's somewhat like 29 points in their first game against Wofford, and then he followed that up with 24-2. He only shot 2 of 9 from two, but 4 of 5 from deep in that game. 6 of 14 overall. For those math guys at home. But like he's been very good for them lately, and it's been like that's very important for his draft stock. Like, again, can't remember which list. Did I have him on the combo guard list? I can't remember. It all blends together at this point.
For sure.
I had him on the combo guard list. I had him 8 when we were way too early top 10, either last week or a couple weeks ago. I think he's – I had Miles
Burke. Do you first round like him?
No. But I had Miles Burke ahead of him. I think I'm comfortable enough to flip those two.
Yeah.
Even though, like, I still love Miles Bird's defensive playmaking and whatnot. Again, him in conference play, it kind of dropped off a cliff. Just with the efficiency and whatnot, he was very bad in their game against North Carolina. And so I'd have it Neek, Ian Jackson, Lanier, Bird, Kobe Bray, who I also think's improved his stock, and then KJ. Although I don't know if KJ comes out. I think he stays another year. I think it would be pretty wise for him, whether it's at Arizona or somewhere else. But well, for Lanier, like, he's someone that's improved his stock a lot just based on what he... Like, obviously, the shooting's there, but I think there's some multi-level scoring potential there.
Out of Carter Bryant, Lanier, the Ian Jackson... Out of those three players, I could throw in Will Riley, but I know that the answer would never be him. Who would you pick?
Carter.
Carter Bryant. I like that. I probably would too because of the upside. the potential.
And I'm not usually someone who goes for that because I want to see it like on a court. But I think he's shown enough to me.
Right. Like he's done just enough, right?
Yeah. Especially if back into the first round, yeah, I'm picking Carter.
Yeah, I'd probably take Carter as well. He's just that guy that has the most upside. And you already know what you're going to get from him defensively. 6'8", 225. He's been improving as the season went on. His three-point percentage, albeit on, you know, less than three attempts per game, is pretty good, considering where he started. Yeah, I like Carter Bryant. I like him a lot. I'm going to be very interested to see what he does in this game. But we're going to keep it short today because I potentially have a lot more content to make today, and I want to make sure I can do it. So with that being said, Matt, tell the people where they can find you, follow you, and get more of your work.
You could find me at Twitter, at NPH_824_. I said at Twitter. It's on Twitter.
It was so weird, dude. You were so weird right there. It's all right, though. Keep
at
going.
Twitter. No. At Twitter. On Twitter, at NPH_824_. You could find me at HotHoopsHoops.com, VendettaSportsMedia.com, MountainWestConnection.com, as well as playback.tv/5RSN and playback.tv/HoopsProfile, which we are on literally right now. If you are not here right now, I don't know what.
Yeah, you could potentially watch some NCAA games with us tonight. Come on, man.
Yeah,
get with the program. All right, man. Well, I appreciate you, Matt. I'm Digital Adele. You can find me on all social media platforms under Digital Adele, also a 5 Reason Sports contributor. We'll see you next time. All right, we're out on YouTube for the people here on playback. You just left. Smart. But yeah, this is the after show, the after party. No, just kidding. All right, Matt, I'll talk to you later, man.
Peace out, man. Have a good one.
You too.
Keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. It prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.